Two of our readings this morning had a common theme, leprosy. One of what my most poignant memories was visiting some leprosy sufferers in a city hospital out in the Far East. They'd been living on an island where they'd been very happy and content, for the clinic had been run by some missionary doctors and nurses who'd taken great care of them. But the medical side of the work had been so successful that they had to close down the clinic, and the remaining 10 or so leprosy sufferers had to be transferred to the mainland hospital. They were virtually free of the bacteria, but they still had the visible signs of leprosy. Their faces were pitted, and some of them had lost fingers on their hands. But what moved me most was the look of sadness on their faces, for surprisingly, some of the nurses totally ignored them. And when they went out in society, they were ostracized. No one would speak to them. And there was clearly a stigma attached to the disease of leprosy. And it was only when I met these leprosy sufferers that I realized the implication of leprosy in biblical times, and especially at the time of Jesus. I would like to discuss three aspects of our readings this morning, and the first is the importance of compassion. St. Mark writes, "Filled with compassion, Jesus stretched out his arm and touched the man." It takes compassion to touch someone who is severely disfigured with sores and ulcers, and even more compassion to do so when he'll be ritually unclean. And that was a very important factor for Jews at the time. But Jesus shows that compassionate love that's a hallmark of his life and ministry. Compassion is more than just showing pity. It's sharing in the spiritual, emotional, and sometimes the physical sufferings of other people. Father Damien was a Belgian priest who went out to work with leprosy sufferers on the island of Molokai, which is near Hawaii, in the 19th century. He was very practical. He worked 18 hours a day. He helped rebuild their houses so they had ventilation, were off the ground. He put in a water supply for them. He built a small school and hospital for them. And he encouraged them to grow their own crops so they could be self-sufficient. But what impresses me most about him was that he visited their homes and spent so much time sharing their lives, all the while knowing that he would one day catch leprosy himself. And the defining moment comes for me when, on one Sunday morning, at the beginning of the sermon, he starts with the words, "We lepers, for now he has leprosy, and now he can share in their spiritual and emotional and physical suffering." Now, we can show compassion in many ways, can't we? Spending time with someone who's lost a loved one and being a good listener. Visiting someone who's on their own. Someone who's in a care home. Someone who may be in hospital. Perhaps helping with an organization that does charitable work. Jesus was always compassionate with those whom he met. And he can work through us. As St. Julian of Norwich said, "Every act of kindness and compassion done by a man is done by Christ working through him." The second aspect that I'd like to discuss is the importance of humility. What a contrast between Naaman and the leper who came to see Jesus. Naaman is furious that he's got to go and wash himself 7 times in the river Jordan. He protests, "I thought he," that's Elisha, "would come and stand and call upon the name of his Lord and wave his hand over the spot and heal me of my leprosy." The leper kneels before Jesus and simply begs for help. How can we show humility? Well, may I give you an analogy? On a Roman coin, is an ox, and on one side there is a plow, and on the other side an altar. And underneath are the words, ready for either. And behind the coin is the idea that a Roman citizen should serve the empire, the Roman Empire, just as an ox ploughs the field, but also should be prepared to give his life for the Roman Empire, just as an ox might be a sacrificial victim on the altar, ready for either. And there we have the qualities of service and sacrifice. When James and John came to see Jesus and asked if they could sit one on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side of him in his kingdom, Jesus said that the person who was going to be greatest amongst them was to be the least, the servant of all. And that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So there again, we have the qualities of service and sacrifice, just as we had on that Roman coin. And for me, humility is knowing our great need for God, just as that leper knew the need for Jesus and for healing in his life. But also serving God and serving other people and being prepared to make sacrifices in the process. The third and final aspect I would like to discuss is that of commitment. If we read on the story in 2 Kings chapter 5, we find that after Naaman is cured, he makes a confession of faith to the living God. He says that he will only serve God. And he's so committed that he wants to take some soil from Israel back to his homeland in Syria on which to worship God. It is as if he wants to worship the holy God on holy ground. Now, commitment is a very important aspect, isn't it, of our Christian faith and of our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul gives that wonderful analogy of running a race set before us. But it's not easy running a race, and it's not easy training for it. During my first year of teaching, I was told that there was going to be a 3,000 metres race that was open to the staff and pupils. Now, I'd not been involved in athletics at school, but I played badminton every day, so I thought I would enter. 3 months before I started my training, I went down to the track, did my stretching exercise, as everyone else seemed to do, and then I started on my first of 8 laps. I went at quite a fast pace, and at the end of the first lap, I felt great. At the end of the second lap, I began to feel out of breath. At the end of the third lap, I had a big stitch. At the end of the fourth lap, I was so shattered, I just sat down and took stock. And I realized I needed to do some disciplined and systematic training. And during the next 3 months, I went through various emotions, inspired at times to go out and train. At other times, I found it just a little monotonous, going round and round a track. And at other times, I had doubts as to whether I should be entering this race at all. When the race came, I think I went through all those motions in just the 8 or 9 minutes it took. And really quite thrilled to be racing. And then after the 6th lap, I began to realize I had second thoughts about taking part. But I did reach the end, and I had a sense of great satisfaction. And I wonder if the Christian faith is a little bit like this. At times we feel very inspired, perhaps inspired by a service we've been to, inspired by a course of talks, inspired by a Christian book that we've read, inspired by art or music. And for me, certainly, inspired by some beautiful scene I see on holiday that reminds me of God's creation and his glory. And then other times, perhaps we have doubts. Perhaps we have heard news about our family or friends that may raise doubts about our faith. And there may be other reasons. And then perhaps at other times we get into a little bit of a rut in our Christian faith. And we need a little bit more energy and enthusiasm for it. And I think that's why the discipline of reading our Bible every day and praying every day and meeting for worship on a weekly basis is so important. But Paul says that we must run the great race before us. And that's a wonderful challenge. And if we do run that race, then in the short term we can enjoy a close relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, who can give us support and strength, wisdom and guidance in our daily lives. And in the long term, we can enjoy the promise he made to us of sharing in his eternal kingdom. Amen.
Amen.